Good morning, church. It is a good day. It is officially the first day of summer, right? Isn't Memorial Day the start of summer, Brett? Is that right? No? It doesn't look like it, does it? It's tomorrow. Memorial Day is the start of summer. But here we are in the church, and it's good to be with you. I want you to come with me into Scripture this morning, to the book of Ephesians, this letter written by Paul the Apostle to the people in Ephesus. I invite you to hear the word of God speaking to you through these ancient words written so long ago. God will speak afresh and anew through his Holy Spirit through these words today. So for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Enliven our hearts. Enliven these words. Make them fresh and new for us, and may your word, and only your word, be proclaimed in this place, for it is your time and your church. May I decrease that you may increase. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a question for you, church. Where is the body, the physical body of Jesus Christ? Where is the physical body, this thing that we all have, where is that for Jesus Christ? Where is the body? The physical body. We know one place that it's not, right? It's not somewhere in a grave, because God raised, the Father raised Jesus from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. So the physical body is not there in the tomb. But what happened afterwards? Jesus dwelled on the earth for 40 days, gave teaching to his disciples. Oh, I would have loved to have been a disciple in that time, in those 40 days. I wonder the mysteries of the universe that Jesus revealed in those 40 days. But at the end of those 40 days, Jesus went to a mountain and was teaching his disciples, and his body ascended into heaven. And according to Scripture, now the physical body of Jesus Christ, this thing that he lived in and continues to dwell in, went to heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Seated, because his work in that earthly body was completed. And now he says to his church, you are my body. You are my physical presence in the world, empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the word, the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he loves the world, he died for the world, he's coming again to redeem the world, to proclaim his church. And Jesus says, to do the works that Jesus did in the time that he was with us in physical body, walking the face of the earth. That is an impossible task, isn't it? To do the works that Jesus Christ did, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give sight to the blind, to raise the dead, to heal the sick. All of the great actions that we think of, the miracles that Jesus did, and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. All of those things that Jesus did when he was walking the earth, he now says, that's your job, as my body in the world. We can't do that on our own, but we don't have to, because next week we'll celebrate another great moment in the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit with great power that wasn't a one-time event but continues to this day. We are the Pentecost church. We are the church with the Holy Spirit dwelling mightily within us. It may not always seem that way in the midst of a board meeting or a trustee meeting. It may not always seem like that in a moment where it seems, man, I just can't feel it today. But the Holy Spirit is powerfully alive in this church and gives us the power to do the things that the body of Christ is called to do. To feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is near. We all get one of these things that is our earthly tent that we get to dwell in for a period of time. Some of us longer than others, but we all get a portion of time that God grants to us to live in a body. And what a wonderful creation it is. I mean, think about it. We can do such amazing things with these little grippers that we have on the ends of our arms. We can do such amazing things with the pile of mush that's up in here and these skulls of ours. We can do such amazing things with these bodies. When we get one to dwell in for a while, but eventually our time runs out. And something takes place, we believe, that even though the physical body may reach its final breath, beat its final heartbeat, think its final thought, that which makes us human doesn't end with that physical death. It continues on. We honor, though, the body. I've got Mom over at the house. Mom's been gone for several months, but I've got her over at the house in a small box that we will eventually, you know, the family will gather and we will scatter her ashes in remembrance that this was someone who Jesus loves. And though we believe that she is safe in the arms of God, there's something about the body. There's something about this stuff that makes us who we are that is important. That is so important that even when the life within it is no longer there, we still have these times where we honor this person and we take such extraordinary care to honor that body, to honor that which remains of that person. So we go past a cemetery and we see the flags that honor those who serve the country. We have services of remembrance where we pay respects to the person who has left us, but we know is safe in the arms of God. But there's something about taking care of the body, even after death, that I think is very important, because it reveals to us, I think, in a very powerful way, that even in death, there is honor and dignity that is due to this stuff that makes us who we are. There's something that requires us to pay as full of a measure of devotion and honor as we can when someone is lost on a battlefield, to make sure that they're returned to their homeland. There's something about when someone is missing, then there's a missing person, that even if the situation ends with that person's death, there is a comfort in knowing that that person's body has been found, isn't there? Even if the end result is not what we would have liked, that person is found and is still alive, just having that moment where you know what happened and you can pay honor to that missing person's body, giving them that final resting place, that is so important to us. And I think, and I bring this up, that the care that we give to a body after death, because Jesus is not only concerned with this body after death, but he's concerned with this body in the life that we live as well. Jesus spent his time while on this earth healing, bringing physical relief to these bodies of ours. And I don't think that ended when Jesus ascended into heaven, because Jesus then imparted those gifts to his body, the church. To do what Jesus did means that we heal the sick, that we bring sight to the blind and speech to those who have no speech, hearing to those who have no hearing. We do that. We don't do it in our own power. We do it through the power of the Spirit. Hospitals are a very, very recent invention in human history, because for the longest time, that work of healing that a hospital does took place within the church. It took place when people would bring the sick to Jesus. It takes place when people would bring the sick to the church to find the healing that just wasn't available in this earthly realm. And that continued as churches began to accumulate the kind of power and money that could afford to build a building for that sort of service, that we were able to build hospitals, a relatively recent idea. And you think about the names on some of those old hospitals. What were they back in the day? Oh, she's going down to Presbyterian Hospital. She's going over to the Beth Israel Hospital. You know, our Jewish brothers and sisters also understand this idea that God wants us to care for the body. One of our founders in the Methodist Church, John Wesley, wrote a whole book on caring for the body. And it's written in 1740, so, you know, the cures are a little strange, but there's something about caring for the body. For instance, John Wesley's advice to cure baldness. Would anybody like to have the cure for baldness? John Wesley wrote it 300 years ago. Here it is. Here it is. Rub the part morning and evening with onions till it is red, and rub it afterwards with honey. You're going to buy some onions after church today? No one said he was good at what he did. For instance, he suggests for the use of electricity, which was becoming a thing in the 1700s, to cure A toothache? Electricity. Shingles? Electricity. Did you try it? No, you should have tried it. Electricity would have done wonders. And all sorts of other diseases. But John Wesley knew something about this body, that it's important to God. And the church does its part to bring about that healing. When we gather together and we offer up prayers, will you pray for this person? Will you pray for that person? Why do we do that? It's because we know that prayer works. It's because we know that when we offer the prayers to the church, that even though we have medical technology that can help our bodies, there's something so important about bringing that person to the feet of Jesus Christ, about us being the body that does the work, that brings to the Lord the people who need the most care. There's a reason why when you're sick, you call the pastor to come and pay you a visit in the hospital. Why do you do that? Well, I have no medical skills. I certainly can't bring you healing. Oftentimes, whenever I get to a hospital, we talk about the silliest things. But we know, don't we, that there is something about sharing time, just sharing prayer together, to share in conversation, that brings the kind of healing that a scalpel and forceps and all of the great technology that we have just can't do. Now, let's not discount the medical community. Let's not discount the great works that these brilliant minds can do. But it's important to remember that those brilliant minds are brilliant because there is a God who loves this community that we live in enough to place in it men and women who can do the most amazing things. Now, unfortunately, as hospitals, the hospitality industry becomes more and more big, it seems like the church gets pushed more and more out, doesn't it? Ask Jenny, it's no fun working for a corporation that takes over a hospital, is it? That's what happens. The corporations discover that there's a lot of money to be made in providing medicine, and so our costs go up, and our care, it seems, goes down, and it's just the nature of things in our world that we live in, that if there's money to be made, someone will find a way to make it. But even in the midst of that, even in the midst of the craziness of this world, how important it is for us to remember our calling as the church to be the body, to be the presence when the cost is too big and the medical community says no. There's no cost too big for our God, is there? When all is lost and it seems like the situation is hopeless and there's no cure in sight, even death can't stop us. Even death is not big enough to bring an end to life, because our God is just that big and just that good. There's a reason that we have times after church where we anoint and bring healing. We live out the calling when we do those things. So, while we may not write the next great book on all of the great things that medicine can do, let's remember that we are the church, called to do great things by the body, by the Spirit who makes us be for the world the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.